A Different Kind of Leader captures insights from diverse leaders in healthcare, public health, and academic settings so that our organizations are in a stronger position to grow, innovate, and meet the challenges of our day. To our listeners, thanks so much for joining us.
Welcome to Toolbox Thursday on A Different Kind of Leader, where we talk with leadership development experts about key skills, tools, and resources leaders need to lead effectively. I am so excited to be joined by my colleague, Ms. Katie Brandert. Katie has directed the Great Plains Leadership Institute, a year-long leadership training program, and served as a manager of workforce development and leadership programs at the College of Public Health at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. She's a team coach, faculty member in the Clinical Scholars Program, which is where I had the good fortune of meeting Katie. And she's also adjunct faculty member at Nebraska Methodist College and an instructor in health promotion at UNMC. Katie is certified in a number of the personal assessments and tools, including 360 assessments, change, conflict, organizational culture, intercultural development, and her areas of focus include training on leadership identity, building teams, public speaking, and the journey towards equity, diversity, and inclusion. And we've been able to collaborate on a number of workshops for the Clinical Scholars Program that's integrated her expertise. She's a sought-after facilitator for difficult conversations, culture work, and organizational strategy. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm excited to be here today.
I'm thrilled to actually have you with us. And so why don't you tell us about yourself and your organization and how you support leaders?
Yeah, so I work at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in the College of Public Health, and I also do some independent consulting and facilitation work. My work really forms a triangle of things. There's three things that I really love to do, and they all come together nicely for me, thank goodness. I love to facilitate community groups and their planning processes and difficult conversations work. I love the field of leadership development and helping people grow. And I also do some executive coaching. I really enjoy my work world. I'm very passionate about helping other humans find and figure out and then use, most importantly, their greatest gifts and talents.
How long have you been in this field of leadership development? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about your typical clients also.
You know, I sort of accidentally fell into the field of leadership development. I started in the maternal and child health world as a public healther, working at a national organization that supported the maternal and child health workforce. And over the years there, that workforce just kept saying, we need more leadership training. Wait a minute, we need to know what this leadership thing is. We need leadership work. And so that work evolved into leadership work. And then I was like, oh, actually, I love leadership work and I'll do it for these cool maternal and child health people. So I kind of flip-flopped what I had been doing. So I've been training public health leaders in various ways throughout my entire career. Spent about a decade at that maternal and child health organization, and now I have more fully stepped into the field of leadership development proper, focused specifically on public health and healthcare practitioners. I stepped more fully into coaching about 8 years ago. I really enjoy working one-on-one with folks, and I have a variety of the kinds of clients. Many are public health professionals, but I also have some small business and nonprofit clients that I work with.
So tell us about the tool that you're going to be sharing with us today. I'm really excited about it because it's something that I did slightly intuitively, and I'm glad to know that I can actually be more intentional about it.
Yes. And that is like a lesson I'm going to come back to you a little bit later, and I'm going to call on your words again in a little bit. So, you know, you asked me if there was a specific tool that I felt like leaders really need that I wanted to talk about. And I knew immediately what it was going to be. And so you and I have talked about it, right? And then here I am driving in my car. Imagine me. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm listening to the first ever episode of this very podcast, A Different Kind of Leader. And I'm listening to Dr. Tom Levice, who's the dean of the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine at Tulane. And I'm almost to the end of his episode. It's about 7.5 minutes before the end. And he says these words that were just music to me. He says, "I go and I check with my personal board of directors." I don't know what came after that. I don't know what he said after that, because I was like, you know, like, pump the brakes here. What? And I stopped the audio like immediately and I rewound. I was like, did he say what I just thought he said? You know, this great leader in the field of academic public health and equity. And he has a personal board of directors and he's talking about it on this podcast. And it was just real sweet validation for me that this concept, which I've been sharing with folks in my leadership institute and in talks across the country for a few years now, here is this, you know, well-known leader in the field who's using it in practice. And so it was just thrilling to hear someone talking out loud about this concept in real life. It was exciting. So I want to talk a little bit about a personal board of directors today.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've called it the kitchen cabinet.
Yes.
Back when we used to sit around in a kitchen.
Oh, don't remind me. Don't remind me. Now it's the Zoom cabinet.
Right.
Yeah, I often refer to it as your supporting cast. So what is this personal board of directors? Well, Giselle, I know you've served on advisory boards, you've served on boards of directors for organizations. What's the purpose of a board?
It's to give you an external perspective on the work that you're doing and also insights in terms of how that work might be useful or impacted by what's happening around you, and also give you the insights into what may be happening internally that you need to pay attention to as well.
Yes. All of that. And that is exactly what a personal board of directors is meant to do as well. It's a group of people that you reach out to for advice, for feedback, for insight. It's like an information powerhouse that you can lean on to advance your own career and passions. These are folks who are providing you support as you determine your vision for your leadership, as you think about your vision for your career path. These are folks who you want to be like, and they are helping you figure out who you are and how you want to interact with the world. They are not leading you. They are very much supporting you from behind so that you can show up as your best self. So I am the lead actor in my leadership journey, but leadership is not a one-woman show. Leaders need strong supporting casts. This supporting cast, people refer to it in the literature as a personal board of directors. We can call it whatever we want, but the concept itself is a way to frame up this group of people who can and are willing to offer you support in that leadership journey that you're on. And they might do this in different ways. They might be doing this by connecting you with people that you need to know. They might be doing it by giving you advice on how to handle a hard conversation or a tough decision. They might be doing it by showing you where to look to find an answer that you're seeking. They might be doing it by inspiring you, by motivating you to keep going or to be better than you ever thought you could be, by reminding you of who you are and who it is you want to be. So there are different kinds of folks that you will want to have on this personal board of directors.
Like what you've heard so far, make sure you never miss a show by clicking on the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show with Katie.
Okay, so who should be on this personal board of directors? On an organization's board of directors, you're looking for a breadth of expertise, and you're looking for, there's a breadth of roles that people play when they're serving on an organizational board. And again, it's the same with a personal board of directors. You want to have different kinds of people that can support you in different kinds of ways. You might hear more frequently about a few of those roles. For example, a coach, an executive coach, a mentor. I also like to say everybody needs a therapist.
Yes.
Myself included. I have a good one.
Yeah, particularly now.
Particularly now, exactly. Specifically for your leadership journey too. Anyway, those are roles that you might have heard of before, coach, mentor. And these kinds of folks are serving, who serve in these roles for you. So somebody you call a mentor, somebody you call a coach, they are potential people on your personal board of directors. Most likely if you wrote out your list, they're going to be on it, and they should be. And there are other important roles as well. I want to highlight just a few that I think are really key and maybe aren't ones we sort of intuitively think about as a specific role we need as part of our support system. And then I'll mention a few others that are sort of worthy as well, worthy of consideration. So some key roles, one of them is the mentor. And I want to take just a second to talk about a mentor because I want to contrast it with another important role. So if you have read anything about leadership, you know having a mentor is important. You need support, you need advice, you need guidance that somebody else gives you based on his or her own experiences. And usually a mentor is in the same field, or they've followed a similar career path to one that you want to have. But it's someone who's providing you direction, they're giving you answers, they're sharing their opinions, they're assisting you with networking, and they're making valuable connections for you. That's a really important role that we all need as leaders. Advice giver, connection maker. But sometimes we stop at this idea of mentor. I have a mentor. I have the person who can show me the way. That's not enough. And we need some other people too.
And typically it's more than one mentor, right? I mean, in this world that we're in now, folks are sort of crossing boundaries and boundaries and spanning boundaries. And typically we need more than one mentor also.
Yeah, there was a while where I was sort of in that space of, am I doing maternal and child health work or am I doing leadership work? Where I had two very distinct mentors and I went to them for very distinct things. There was a mentor I went to for just like, how do I handle these people I'm working with? And how do I have hard conversations with my colleagues? And what choices am I making in my current work environment? And then I had another mentor that I went to who was already in the leadership development field, who supported me in just thinking about how I was going to step into that field and learn and grow in it. So yes, you might have multiple of any of these roles that I'm going to describe, who maybe do the same thing for you, or who maybe sort of overlap in a way like what I just described with my mentor experience. Another important role, though, that's becoming more well known as something we need is the role of sponsor. A sponsor is someone who will put your name in for the job. They're going to write that letter of recommendation or nomination for you. You might not even know they did it. Mm-hmm. They aren't threatened by you. They're going to get you to the next place. Giselle, I've watched you do this for people. In fact, you've done it for me, where it's the person who is willing to say to somebody else, yes, this person for the award, this person for the job, this person for the promotion, you know, whatever it is. It's someone who's willing to say, yes, you get this. You deserve this. You're worthy of this. And they're telling other people. Really important role, because we know that so much change happens, especially when it comes to career growth and advancement, because of who you know and who's willing to say they know you. Mm-hmm. So sponsor is really important. Another key role is maybe somebody we don't always like so much, but is really important. I would call them the critic.
Or frenemy.
A frenemy, yeah, I love it. This is someone who is not going to suck up to you. This is not the teacher's pet kind of person, okay? This is not your cheerleader, although I think a cheerleader is another role I would put on the list of a personal board of directors. But this is not that person. This is the person who's going to tell you exactly like it is. This is the person who is willing to challenge you. You might not even like this person, and they might not even like you, but that's not important. Them being our friend, not important. The importance of the critic role is that you have respect for this person enough to stop and listen when they create dissonance in your life. Mm-hmm. So important to stop and listen when someone is creating that uncomfortable moment that we need to be paying attention to. If we don't, a critic can't be someone we don't trust, or we won't stop and listen. We'll just steamroll right over them.
Right.
So, critic.
I just want to pause there on that one, because that's the idea of trust. So, and respect is just so critical in that particular role. And I guess it is in all of them, but that the self-awareness and the willingness to be able to sort of take that, you know, that little ouch and be able to turn it over and take what you need and leave the rest.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think when you were saying at the very beginning of this about intentionality, maybe we have people we think about sort of peripherally as, oh yeah, if I'm acting up, so-and-so will tell me, mm-hmm. you know, the critic. Mm-hmm. But when we intentionally say to ourselves, I really see this person as somebody in my supporting cast, then we will be more likely to stop and pay attention when they throw up the roadblock.
Yeah.
When they say the thing that hurts a little bit mm-hmm. or kind of blindsides us a little bit. When we know they're speaking truth, but we're not ready to hear it yet, right?
Yep.
So naming this person as someone I'm willing to listen to is important, because then when it comes time, you're willing to listen. Another one that I also think trust and respect, I agree, trust and respect, important in all the roles. This is another one where I think it's doubly important. And this one I call the peer. So a peer is a person who's doing the same thing you're doing, and they're trying to figure out the same things you're trying to figure out, and they're working hard toward their goals, and you have a lot to give them, and they have a lot to give you. This is not my friend, you know, Monique, who works with me. This is not that person. It might be, but this isn't just a friend who works with you or a kind colleague, because the peer role isn't really about friendship. It's about having a relationship with someone who has an exact understanding of the very journey I'm on right now, can empathize with me, and we can share back and forth what we're learning on this journey together. It's someone that I can reach out to and lean on and learn from, because they're in a similar place. This is such an important role. And it's an important role across the span of your career. So later in your career, when you're a little higher up in organizations, when you're having and holding more power and leadership kinds of roles, whether they're positional or not, you know, there's that saying about like, it feels lonely at the top. You need a peer. That's because you need a peer who's there too. And when you're at the start of your career, it's about helping each other figure out how this whole thing works. Because there's just so much to learn when you're in that place, whether it's the start of your original career, a new career, a turning point, whatever, that sharing and learning from each other, from each other's mistakes, that idea of saying like, here's something that I've tried and it didn't work, or it did work, I hope it helps you. Like that give and take of ideas is so important. What I really want to say about the peer role though, this goes back to how we first started talking about it. It has to be a trusted relationship. There cannot be any written or unwritten peer power dynamics in this role. There cannot be competition in this role. Because if there's even a hint of competition, then you're not going to share what's happening. You're not going to confide in them. You're not going to lean on them. You're not going to give them you're not going to do the give in order to get the take. So even though the peer sounds like, well, duh, it's my colleague in the cubicle next to me, it's actually a little bit harder to find and keep a peer than it first appears, because you have to be willing to be in relationships with someone who is in the same place of life as you are and might very well want the exact same things you do. Yeah. And it's not always possible for you both to get them.
Yeah, it's such a powerful relationship when it does happen, and because of the power and the potential for competition, it can be relatively rare.
Yeah. And that's not to say the two of you won't ever be competing against each other. That's where the trust piece comes in.
Right.
That you can still serve in this capacity for each other on the other side of that.
Yeah.
I think there are some other important roles too. Like I would say, that I would call one the aspiration. the coolest person in the world to you. And maybe you've never met them or never spoken to them. Maybe they're even dead. I don't know. But they're like, oh, if I could be half of what they were in their life, you know, if I could have half of the blank they have. Mine's Brené Brown. She's on my aspiration list.
Yeah, she's... I don't know how the things that come out of her head and mouth actually come out. I mean, every piece is a piece of wisdom. Every book is a treasure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. She's definitely my aspiration. Another one I would say just worthy of pointing out is the confidant. This is like the vault, the person who is the vault for you, who will really just listen, take it in, and it never leaks and it never goes anywhere. It's just like a safe space to do all the thing, like the venting and the talking and the thinking that you need to do. Mm-hmm. And they just hold that space for you. That's such a, that is such a warming and loving relationship in the way that they're holding that space for you. And they're just there to listen. Such a gift when you can find somebody to serve in that role for you.
Yeah.
And then I would say, you know, you also need someone who's an expert in what you want to do. Like you need an expert in your field. Dr. Claudia Fernandez, she talks about the role of the curbside consultation. The curbside consultant. It's like you can drive up to them, you roll this passenger window down, you shoot them your question. They're like, yes, here's where you go for that. Or yes, here's what you do for that. And then you drive off.
Mm-hmm.
You need those sort of go-to, you know how to do it, tell me, and I'll soak it in kinds of people, experts in your area. There are other roles too. And there's on the notes page for this episode, there's going to be a PDF worksheet that anybody can download and sort of fill out and think through potential board members for yourself. One more thing though, I want to add that I feel really strongly about in this conversation about who is on your board. You need to bring a variety of folks, you know, not just in the role that they're playing, like you need a mentor and a coach and an aspiration and a fill in the blank, but also in the collective lived experiences of these people who are sitting in these roles for you. So the first time that I wrote out the names of the people that I saw as sort of filling my personal board of directors, I had 12 or so people. Only one of them identified as a man. The rest all identified as female. But the world is diverse. The kinds of situations that I'm being asked to step up and lead in or show up in are diverse. I need a diverse set of eyes and ears and ideas to support me in showing up the way I want to show up in all of those different kinds of situations.
Yep.
So if you don't already have that, it needs to be a priority.
I mean, literally 2 hours ago, had the same insight by somebody that doesn't look at all like me in terms of gender and race, made a comment about a new project. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had not thought about that. And being able to have that perspective is so critical.
So important.
Do you make a formal ask for folks to be on your board? How, or is that just, you just need to know, like, okay, here's my critic. I'm going to just go to my critic.
That's a good question. It's a yes and a no. It's a both and answer for that. There are some relationships that you will want to formalize. Mentoring, you will want to formalize that because you will get more out of it. If you just kind of occasionally reach out to someone in the hope that they'll mentor you, it might work sometimes. But if you sit down and have a formal ask of somebody, are you willing to be my mentor? They're more likely to put the time on their calendar. When you email, they're going to read it. They're going to set up the time with you. They're going to be willing to meet with you. They're probably getting something out of it too, hopefully. So there are some relationships that you'll want to formalize. I could see an honest conversation between two peers about how they want to serve in that peer role with each other, being really helpful and sort of dispelling some of that worry about power dynamic and whatever else. So yes, there are some relationships you might want to have more formalized. You don't need to use the board of directors language, although you can, but it might just be like, can we be super good colleagues with each other and be willing to have hard conversations about what life is like right now?
One of my peers, when I was first starting out and we were trying to figure out this whole writing together, we decided that there would be some papers where I would be the parent and she would be the grandparent. So we both loved the topic and the paper, but I was going to take primary responsibility for the care and feeding of that idea moving forward into a paper, and she would be the grandparent that was there, attentive, stepped in when they needed to be stepped in. But, and so that was how we negotiated some of our writing.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that you found the language that worked for you too, about how to be in that relationship together.
It worked great.
For other roles, you might not reach out, you know, it might just be, it's the having thought through it is enough. So I mentioned already that Brené Brown is on my personal board of directors, but she and I have never met. And it might be an awkward email. So I've thought about sending it a few times, like, hey, Brené, my name's Katie. Look, I find you incredibly aspirational. Are you willing to serve on my board of directors? That could be an awkward email. Mm-hmm. So some people are never going to know, and that's okay. It's an exercise in intentionality, which is what we've kind of threaded throughout this.
Yeah.
It's an exercise in intentionally thinking through who can support me on my journey. And then, of course, turning around and looking back to say, who am I supporting on theirs is also important.
So to continue the analogy, you mentioned that being on an external advisory board or in other ways, typically those have a term limit. People rotate on and off. Should we be thinking about that in terms of our personal board of directors?
Yeah, it's important to say something about how the relationships might work in terms of the folks who are serving on your board, whether they know it or not. You might ask someone to serve in a capacity, or imagine in your brain that they are serving in a capacity for you. And then you might realize, oh, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I've asked them to serve in a mentor role, formally or not, and their language doesn't match with mine, or the way they approach the world is so different that I'm not getting as much out of this relationship as I need to. Sometimes it doesn't work, you know? And so you close out that relationship. If you need to close it out formally, you should. If you formalized it, you should close it out formally. Otherwise, you can put a little line through their name and write the name of somebody else, right? Mentally. Relationships also fade over time. I think mentor is another is a role that's easy to talk about this as well. I've had mentors who were really important at a certain point in my career. And now that I'm in another point in my career, they're playing a different role for me. Or their mentorship is better serving somebody earlier in their career. And so that's just a relationship that I've stepped away from. That's happened to me. I'm thinking that's probably happened to you as well over the course of your career.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes relationships morph into something new. I was missing a sponsor, if you will, in my board of directors. And at a facilitation training of all places, I met someone who we really hit it off from a personality standpoint. And she had a lot of connections to the leadership development field in my community that I was interested in. So I cultivated a relationship with her and we became good friends. We were even on the same book club for several years, you know, like our relationship. But there was definitely a time where on my personal board of directors list, she was in the sponsor category. She was in the connector category. She had a lot of good advice. She was in my advice giving role category, you know, and then she moved out of state. And so she sits in that advice giving category still, but she's no longer in the sponsor category because she isn't live in a place where she can sponsor me. And she doesn't live in the connector category anymore because she doesn't live in my community anymore. So she can't be that connector. And enough years have passed that her connections are dimming here.
Mm-hmm.
So things are going to morph over time, and that's okay. That just means you're opening up the opportunity to bring in new connections and new lived experiences and new ideas.
Great. That was so great. Can you just sort of give us a little bit of a recap in terms of what you see as kind of the key points that we need to take away?
Yeah. As leaders, whether we are just starting out or whether we are established rock stars, i.e. all the speakers you've had in this podcast series so far, like Tom LaViste, who's mm-hmm. talking about his personal board of directors, right? We need a supporting cast. We cannot do this alone. There's no one who has taken their own selves through their entire journey of their career. It's just not possible. You need other people. You need other connections. You need other ideas and advice and support. We all need a personal board of directors. Being a good leader is being humble enough to say, I don't know all the things. I don't have all the answers. I can't always see what I need to be able to see to lead well in this situation. I need a group of people around me who I respect and trust, who will offer me good advice, who will open doors that I don't have a key to, who can tell me and I'll listen that I'm off base. I need a trusted set of people to lean on and to look to and to emulate. And that is the purpose of having a personal board of directors.
Katie, that was awesome. Thank you. Incredible advice. And I think the one of the key takeaways for me is that intentionality. And I'm definitely going to be looking at that PDF that we'll make sure to have a link to in the show notes, because while I think I'm pretty sure I have a lot of these people, I haven't thought about how I leverage the fact that I have these folks in my life. And that intentionality, particularly as you're making decisions and sort of thinking about next steps or just mulling over how to approach a problem or issue, I think can be so important. And to know and to be intentional about how you call on people.
Yes. And that's why you need a variety of people in these roles. You can't have the same person as your mentor, your critic, your aspiration, your peer, your connector, or you're going to burn them out and they're not going to like you anymore.
Yes, they will stop answering your emails. Yep. Well, thanks so much for joining us this week on A Different Kind of Leader.
Thanks to our listeners for joining us for this season's Leadership Toolbox episode. Special thanks to Miss Katie Brander, and you can follow her on various social media platforms, like on Twitter at Katie Brandert, Facebook at Katie.Brandert, Instagram at K Brandert, and on LinkedIn at Kathleen Brandert. Also, please check out our social media for a visual graphic of the tool Katie discussed in this episode on a personal board of directors. This episode was edited by DeAndre Sawyer. Many thanks to the DKL production team with host Giselle Corby-Smith, executive producer Sable Watson, producer and creative director Rachel Quinto, production assistant Jamie Ead and DeAndre Sawyer, and music by Mixout and Chillout Lounge. And if you like what you've heard, please rate us and leave a comment wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps others to find us. Like and comment on Facebook and Instagram at Different Kind of Leader, all one word, as well as on Twitter at DK Leadership. As always, we want to hear from you, our listeners, so please contact us at differentkindofleader@gmail.com. Let us know what leadership questions you have for guests and which inspiring leaders you would like for us to interview next. Join us next week to hear from Different Kind of Leader, Dr. Kimberly Manning. As always, thanks for listening. This is A Different Kind of Leader.